Welcome to Crewcast, the Crew Network podcast that features top thought leaders in commercial real estate, shares important industry insight, and inspires change.
Welcome to our Crewcast Leadership Series, which profiles commercial real estate professionals at all stages of their careers across diverse disciplines and roles in the industry. In this episode and in upcoming episodes, we are honored to feature women of color who are trailblazers in our industry. These women have taken risks, overcome barriers, achieved unprecedented success, and made a significant impact in the industry. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with JJ Falk, a pioneer for women in engineering and architecture. Welcome, JJ.
Thank you. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning. Well, let's go back. Let's just jump right in, JJ, and go back to where it all started. You attended Hongik University, which is widely known as the best architecture and art institution in South Korea. And as a young woman in the 1970s, what led you to pursue an education and career in architecture and engineering?
Well, that's a very good question. Actually, I grew up in the household that is pretty eager to modernizing all their activities. My father, who has influenced me, I think that is the most first thing I can think of it. He was a doctor and I was first child of him. And regardless gender, he also has two sons after that. But he kind of valued me as a person. And I never think twice that I am being discriminated by the gender, or, you know, it's very conservative cultural country I grew up or surrounded. But he was uniquely after the, you know, probably, you know, major world war, and the country itself is just starting modernizing, and that has been a great influence.
So it sounds like he was a man way ahead of his time, though, in terms of it supporting you as a woman and as a daughter, and just letting you know that you could do anything and be anything that you chose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I often say that how lucky I was. And by the time age 18 to make a decision to my career, I was not much of a confusion on that. And something to create, something to leave, you don't have before you came sort of idea. Architecture came through, there was a lot more than one person. A lot of friends said that some uncles was an architect, and then they're telling all the stories. So cumulatively, I choose architecture.
So throughout your successful career, you've led some innovative design projects for high-profile clients, including Rolling Stone, Goldman Sachs, and the NFL. You ran your own firm for 20 years before joining Perkins Eastman as principal, and have developed lasting relationships with global brands such as Ralph Lauren, Tory Burch, JP Morgan Chase, and Samsung, among others. So, JJ, take us through some of the most pivotal points in your career and tell us how you navigated these big wins and the losses to get where you are today.
Okay. It was making a good decision along the way of your career. I can't just jump to the 40 years, but earlier career that I have been exposed to the one of the nationally largest and the most best two companies that I have worked for 15 years. And that gives me the incredible confidence and education and experience. Along the way, I also learned how to networking with people. And once you do the good work, and solid experience will be stay with you. So it comes through up to the point of that after 15 years that I decided to, you know, going out to my company. And once I get to my own business, you have a different kind of the responsibility, obviously. And learning how to, not only you realize your asset is the creative, aspect. Everybody knows as a design director, design head, And that really plugged into my mind to say that, okay, this is my brand, this is my strong suit. And then how to manage the carry on the company. Once you're in the driver's seat, you really have nothing, you can't think about anything else to safely to carry this thing to further. So I decided some good repeat account and, you know, reputable company is the my target, and they will, once you know, will be stick with me.
You identified like top company brand names you wanted,
yeah.
And you knew if you got them on board that you could prove to them that you are great, and they would then stick with you.
That's right. That's the pretty much
I love that. I love that.
So, I mean, that was given many the mentors and the heroes and my role models and that along the way, but I cannot skip any of those people, but they are client, sometimes they're industry friends and real estate side to the all the way to the vendor. And you know, I think it is my another asset is carrying on in relationship, and no matter what difficulties, and you continue to be re-bampered and having that to be asset continue to grow. And end of the day, you know, I can tell you that some of the projects like what you mentioned here is some cases under the previous companies, and then I was leaders of the project, and I show my everything. And, you know, every time you face the projects and you top to CEO to the bottom of all the professional they are in, staff members of mailrooms, they will know me. They're coming back to me after I make my own company and refer me to the another their friend. MTB is coming from the Rolling Stone. JP Morgan's coming from Goldman Sachs, for example. Entertainment companies like NFL give me the advertising forms of a DDB Needham in Chicago, which is another 500,000 square foot project. Those people are projects like Ralph Lauren's or Tory Burch's, Samsung's. They're really mostly referrals. I didn't really go competing to it that much.
It sounds like, though, the power of referral as well is that
yeah.
You get work, you do great work, and then the referrals were really important as well in your journey forward.
Absolutely. It is repeat yeah. business, repeat client, mm-hmm. or reference, and keeping juices going, and then mm-hmm. you also keeping your confidence and performing yeah. the right way.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you've built a highly regarded reputation as a trailblazer in cutting edge corporate office design. In recent months, we've all been adapting to living and working through a global pandemic, which has had a tremendous impact on workplaces. How is office design currently adapting, and what are some of the cutting edge trends you can share with us?
Sure. You know, that since that lockdown, March, middle of March, there are a tremendous of activities in our industry, believe it or not. I mean, end user side and the industry of the service providers and major corporations, all of them has a great survey task force and many discussions, and end of the day report is amazing report is coming out a weekly basis, monthly basis. I mean, after 4 months, we are in the stage of pretty much of a good, solid, you know, solution basis or knowledge and research basis. You know, so that those reports will be pretty much of a commonality in a way. So we do have a trend, unfortunately, if, for example, the second quarter of New York real estate, you know, the one of the largest firms that has been reported, like we have lost 50% of leasing activities. And and then occupancy of the 14 million square foot is down, and then it's going on to another 8 million. And Basically, Solvlys is going to be 5 million is already off, but Shade Space is going to be 15 million. So it's this trend is going to be directly along with architectural construction industry. So my point of view is the workplace is that all the basic precautions are going to be stay on and as a standard. And as you know, that immediate re-entry is consideration, and then pre-vaccine and post-vaccine is going to be another trend. Most recent idea was that you will be having a new hybrid office design. It is a home-like office, office-like a home. In the same time, you're probably adding unique gathering and interactive space of a variety of design. And so that depends on the company's sizes and their spread and their survey of the staff, what type of business they will be, or adaptable. So, you asked me about the any new technologies. I mean, there are so many in lighting, hardware, fixtures, finishes of carpets and floorings and the wayfinding, the signage forms, and all these companies are very upfronted, and a furniture company is a huge business that turning into the development of screens and movable walls and space dividers. And then technology-wise, self-temperatures and the phone apps and following up to the, authorities, all kind of things that are already in the table. HVAC, obviously, engineering side is going to be so, so important because the aerosol treating and filtration by the UVC or a special filtration, EON filtration. This is going to be all worked out by our technology.
Yeah, a lot of change ahead. I know, and it'll settle in for a while. But I think you're right. There's going to be phases of it because both what we do now and the space configurations and the technology we used, and then post vaccine, there may be more changes. But some things will probably just stay because they're simply good for us
exactly. In
general and good for office space. So that's good. Well, let's go on. Let's talk about a Crew Network thing. And by the way, thank you for posting that information and that report on the Crew Network online community and sharing that intelligence. So if you're interested in what JJ's talking about in terms of some of the things they're seeing, please check that report out on the Crew Network online community. Crew Network will release its fourth benchmark study, JJ, measuring progress for women over the last 15 years. And the benchmarking study, it'll also benchmark the diversity of our industry. And we're, focused on, in the midst of this campaign to push for progress for our industry by supporting our foundation right now. And what we observed in this most recent benchmark data is that progress is not as fast as we'd like. And I'd just be curious, what progress have you observed for women in the workplace in the last 40 years? And what areas of progress do you think have been most stagnant? And especially as a woman of color, any insights you can share?
I have to say, yes, you're right. It is very slow. What is the slowdown is that basically leadership positions, and we are starting to do mentor strength of the young ladies are very equal minded, either gender or the races, all that is start to blossoming. We're accepting, opening it up. All that is great. But what is very difficult is the glass ceiling that we used to talk about. And I'm one of that victim that 15, 10 years of one company that I have to push through. Otherwise, I have to have my own firm to prove. So that is, in a way, and for me, is the stepping stone and the challenging. And it's a character-wise, I had no problem to go out and doing so and made it a proof. But most of the cases internally, very difficult in the boardroom, you're one or two women of 20 guys in the front. They can really speak up loudly their ideas. But last decade period, I think I see a tremendous of mindset change. You know, so instead of who's who, we just do it human by design.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. 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 I think that's interesting, JJ, because I agree that we've seen some change, especially in the, you're talking about breaking through the glass ceiling. A lot of that in our industry has been women going out on their own and establishing their own companies. And but I think also what we'll see in the next 5 to 7 years is an exodus of some of the generation of that old way of thinking of who's who versus looking at us as all humans with great credentials and skills. And I think that we'll see a fundamental shift probably within the next 5 to 7 years, which I think will be great for women as well as people of color. Last question here. Let's get to this. As a longtime Crew Network and Crew New York member, you're familiar with the research we've done on gender and diversity in commercial real estate and our efforts to increase opportunities for women, as we were just talking about. As a woman of color and a senior executive in commercial real estate, what guidance do you have for CEOs and other influential leaders to make significant progress in creating a more diverse, inclusive, and equal industry? What advice, like if you could say three things to those who are in leadership now, here's what you need to do, what would that be?
There is a lot of items to discuss, but first thing is the communication, horizontal communication, I would say. You can make it as a company, constant, almost a regular, weekly basis, or, it can be 2 times a week. Make a general town hall-ish kind of communication platform, and make sure that it is honest and transparent, relationship with everyone, not just vertically, horizontal communication, which I am experiencing right now with our own company. I'm not saying that promoting a Perkins Eastman. If you see our companies, it's a human by design is our motto. That gives me another item that I think CEO and or any executive directors of all should have a clear motto of the company, too inclusive and equality and social justice, all that is their first priority of the company motto. And that should be first thing to be, base and foundation. It will change the people's mind and they will be not afraid to talk about anything they are in mind. So that was our company's doing it. And that's wonderful motto established, and second, communication regularly, transparently. And then, of course, thirdly, they have to give them a tool. And that's going to be the most important part. It's either provided a program and the mentor-mentee programs, as I mentioned, and HR to be educational program, or the funding to the internships, and so that they have open internship with obviously equal opportunity for the people. So time and fund is something that the CEOs or the boardroom to be opening up. And if I add it up, I think it is you really should be empowering certain weakness of the people to be open the larger the platform as a boardroom members. I think that will give them a promotional power as well as their, confidential power, and that they're going to do the good job of following of what they are.
That's great advice. And I think you're spot on. I mean, it starts at the top down, and whether it's modeling the behavior and setting the priority, or as you said, the priority is in the motto around diversity, equity, and inclusion, and communicating it. That's spot on, and I appreciate you sharing that. JJ, thanks for being with us here on the Crewcast podcast today. It's delightful to meet you and to talk with you and hear about your journey and experience and have you share your insights with us. And I look forward to watching us continue to make progress, and hopefully you'll still be around and supporting us and pushing the needle forward as well from whatever space you're in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much, Wendy, for having me, and I am honored to be speak up.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.